Thoughts on the Psalms. Psalm 145, verses 11, 12, and 13. The Kingdom. The Kingdom. Let me read the verses. Starting at verse 11. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The glorious splendor of your kingdom, verse 12. Verse 13. The main verse for it. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Psalm 145, verses 11, 12, and 13. The kingdom. What a massive theme. Far too big for this brief discourse, thoughts on the Psalms. This is such a pitiful way of dealing with such a massive subject. Right through Scripture, really. Leading up to the climax, I suppose you might say, in the book of Revelation, God's kingdom. We're not talking about the Roman kingdom or the Greek kingdom or the British kingdom, the empire and all these German empires, the Reich, the Russian empire, the American empire. We're not talking about that. They're nothing. Nothing. Kingdoms rise and fall. Human kingdoms. Daniel chapter 2. These great kingdoms that are crushed by the little stone which swells and fills the earth. God's kingdom. God's realm. God's reign. God's rule. God's government. It's the biggest theme in Christ's ministry. Read the Gospels. Open the Gospels at random and see what Christ is speaking about. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. There's much of it in Acts. These men went round preaching the resurrection of Christ and the fact that he was king and his coming kingdom. Yes, and it was the battle at his trial. Read John 18 and 19. See the verbal contest between Pilate and Christ. What is it over? Many things, yes. But the kingdom. You're a king then. You're a kingdom. You have a kingdom. Yes, I have my kingdom and so on. Christ is standing for the kingdom. For David, of course, here in Psalm 145, he's thinking in terms of the Old Covenant and Israel. His kingdom, and of course Solomon's to come, and so on. But now in the New Covenant, this theme of covenant is not, this theme of kingdom is not removed. We're talking about the eternal kingdom of God. As I say again, it's a massive theme. Of course, there are problems. Is God reigning now? In one sense, yes. Is he visibly reigning? Is it obvious? This world lies in wickedness. Satan is the prince of this world and so on. But the kingdom, Christ is coming again, and he will set up his everlasting kingdom. His dominion will have no end. I'm not talking about a temporary kingdom, an earthly kingdom of 1,000 years which ends in disaster. No. I don't think the Bible is talking about that. That will offend some who listen to me, but there it is. I'm sure it's not talking about the post-millennial kingdom, the kingdom of the influence of the church over all the world and conquering it all. No, I don't think so. It is Christ's kingdom, and it comes in when he returns again and sets up that kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth. I say again, there are issues and questions that I can't answer. But here it stands. Your kingdom, God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures through all generation. We just come to the end of the reign of Elizabeth II. We're starting Charles III. It won't be long before we're talking about the end of Charles III and so on. And so it goes on. Not with Christ. He rules and reigns forever. He is the most sovereign of all the God, of all the kings, of all the rules. This kingdom will never end. He is the sovereign God. He is the governing God. He rules. He reigns. Deism is wrong. God has not created the world, then thrown away the key, wound up the clock, and sits back. No, no. He is ruling, reigning. The question is, my friend, are you a subject of this kingdom? Are you subject to the king? Oh, they're paying their respects to Elizabeth now. What about Christ, my friend? They're remembering Elizabeth. Do you ever think of Christ? He is the everlasting King.